Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Aaron Broyles, and Aaron Broyles has successfully launched several startup companies, growing them into multi-million dollar organizations. He has acquired and sold businesses in many different industries, including technology, rail and transportation, fitness training, and consulting. And I like the fact that you also have a family and you enjoy hunting, archery, water skiing, playing guitar, performance, cars. You're just one of those well-rounded people.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do enjoy doing a lot of things, for sure.
Now, the book that you just wrote is called Do Great Things.
Yes.
And I don't know of anybody who doesn't want to do great things. But there's something about the human nature that we become very inhibited in trying to do anything different than what we saw our parents do. Or maybe we, maybe our self-esteem just keeps us from trying to do things. Why do you think we are so fascinated with people who have accomplished great things?
Well, I think that God has designed each one of us, that He's hardwired us for a desire to do great things. I think that's why we are fascinated with people who have done great things. And I think that today's culture, we've really twisted it around what great things really is. You almost have to go back and redefine what great things really means.
So what does great things mean in your book?
Well, for me, it's when you're at the center of God's will and you're doing exactly what He designed you to do. That's when you're accomplishing great things. And that might not mean fame or money or attention. And in today's culture, we sort of confuse those things.
And I love that. I think, for me and where I'm at in my life now, I'm so comfortable in who I am and who God's made me to be that if He calls me to clean the toilets, that is my great thing. And
yes,
I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I would like our listeners to go to your website. It's www.aaronbroyles.com. And many of them will go right while they're listening to the show. They'll go and then they can see your picture and also some of the other things you have there. And you also, they can go to your Facebook page at aaron.broyles. And that's B-R-O-Y-L-E-S
.author. Yes, yes.
So we kind of unfortunately look at children as they're growing up, and I know as a teacher, I will look at that kindergarten child and I'll go, I can predict. But you really cannot predict how someone is going to turn out. So let's say someone comes from a virtually hopeless environment. Maybe they didn't have any parents. Maybe they're an orphan. What courage would you have for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I spent a good deal of time researching the great entrepreneurs of America over the last 200 plus years. And one of the things I discovered that was so intriguing to me was that it didn't matter what background people came from, some with great education, others with none, some with great resources at their disposal, depending on what type of family they might have been born into. And it's absolutely amazing to me that anyone could become successful. I mean, Richard Branson is a multi-billionaire who dropped out of high school and was dyslexic. And I think of Thomas Edison, for example, who went 3 months to school before his mother finally took him back. And his teacher actually said he was mentally confused and went on to obviously be an amazing person. And so it doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters is the actions that you take going forward. And what I find intriguing as well, when you look at the Bible, God always chooses the ordinary the unlikely, and those are the people he uses in his ministry to do great things. And so I know I am encouraged as an ordinary person seeing that, that it, those are the people that God chooses to do his will.
So whether you are 2 years old or 100 years old or 70 years old, God has something for you to do today.
Absolutely. If you're breathing, God has a plan. No question.
Now, in chapter 2 of your book, Do Great Things, you talk about creating a climate for change. And I've heard this used in so many different leadership venues, you know, create that climate for change. How does someone actually create a climate for change?
Yeah, it's a great question, because you think about how many times you've set a goal, especially at the new year, right? You set a New Year's resolution, and that happens for a month, and then, you know, you go back into your old ways. And so how do you create a climate for change? And the best example I can give is that you have to answer the why question. Why do I need to make that change? And if you can't answer that question, you're never going to change. And so first you have to address that question. The best example I can give, my uncle several years ago was just in terrible health. He didn't eat right. He smoked. He didn't exercise, and he knew that he was in bad health. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he never made a change in his life. And my grandfather had died at a very young age of a massive heart attack, and so it didn't come until the time that he was diagnosed with blockage and recognized that he was on the verge of a major heart attack. Suddenly, everything changed. His diet, his exercise routine, he lost 40 pounds, and today, an incredibly healthy person. And so what was the difference, right? Was it a new exercise program that he identified or a new diet? It really wasn't. It was that he knew now why he needed to make that change.
So if we took that metaphor into an organization and someone could serve as a catalyst and say, look it, if we continue to do the things that we're doing, we're going to continue to get the results that we've been getting, which we can tell our organization is going to die. Our ministry is going to fold. What God has given us to do is not going to happen.
Yes.
So how does that person take that and really help the whole organization become a climate for change?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that what you have to do is do exactly what you talked about, is think about what's going to happen 5, 10, 20 years down the road if we stay on the path that we're on today. And I think of the movie A Christmas Carol, the Charles Dickens story that was written, you know, almost 200 years ago. And how did he get Ebenezer Scrooge to change his ways? And it was that he started to look. It really became clear with the ghost of Christmas Future because he started to look at, if I stay on the course that I'm on, here's what I'm going to get. And so I think in an organization, you have to bring awareness to coworkers or colleagues, whatever it may be, whatever organization you're in, and create awareness around, if we stay on the path that we're on, here's what we're going to end up with. I think those are great questions even in your own personal life to ask, you know. My marriage today, if we continue the way we are today, what will it look like 10 years from now? My relationship with my children, if it continues the way it is today, what will that look like 10 years from now?
Now, looking back at your childhood, because I will have listeners, I'll have a lot of parents that will say, I want my child to, you know, to be an Aaron Broyles. I want that for my child, someone who's interested in change and someone who really will make a difference in the world. How was your childhood? How did it foster who you are today?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think in my own personal childhood, I spent a lot of time in God's Word. My parents really encouraged me to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so through that relationship, God has taken me down some roads that have really opened those doors up. I think the greatest thing that any parent can do for their child is to encourage and inspire them to be in an intimate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's really where it's all at. And to understand, to do God's plan for their life, not, you know, my plan for their life as a parent.
Yeah, that's a great point. I have four kids, and I have plans for them, but I realize those plans might not be God's plans.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you. Now, how does this connect to prosperity? So many times Christians pride themselves in, you know, the spirit of poverty.
Yep.
rather than the spirit of prosperity. So do you think there's a correlation there?
Yeah, I do. I think it's the definition of prosperity and how you look at that. Is that material wealth or is it something else? I think you can look and see there are a lot of people in the world today that have incredible success, have more money than they know what to do with, fame, fortune, etc., and they're not happy and they're not fulfilled. And so I think when you look at that, you have to realize that prosperity really is something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fulfillment. It's doing what your heart's desire is, that the way that God designed you. And so I think when we think about prosperity, that's really where we're coming from.
So you as a entrepreneur of... you've acquired businesses. I mean, did it just kind of fall in your lap? Have you inherited wealth? How does that work?
I certainly haven't. No.
Okay, well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to hear a little bit about that story.
Michaels, and this is Heartbeat. No one likes detours while they're driving. When we're in a hurry, detours seem like a plot to ruin our plans. It's only after we pass the roadblock that we understand the reason for the detour. In the Bible, God tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." While it may seem that God is placing detours in your life to ruin your plans, He is really directing you to a safer path, away from danger. When you encounter a detour in life, will you thank God for the opportunity to drive down the safer road that He offers? Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with Aaron Broyles, and he wrote this book, Do Great Things, Applying Proven Entrepreneurial Methods to Achieve Success in Everyday Life. So I had just questioned you as to whether you had inherited this wealth that you could, you know, kind of have a little bit of startup capital to do some of the things that you've done. Lead us through what it looked like for you.
Sure. Yeah. So I did not have any startup capital. I knew I wanted to start a business, but I didn't know how that was going to happen. I didn't know what it might look like. And so I didn't know any entrepreneurs. And so I just started reading about the great entrepreneurs, the great American entrepreneurs over the last 200 plus years.
So who are they?
Thomas Edison, Benjamin Franklin, Henry Ford, Howard Schultz, Steve Jobs, I mean, there's a whole list of them, Ray Kroc, just amazing people who have had vision to go forward and start something new. And so when I started my first business, we had nothing. I mean, my wife was pregnant with our third child and was a stay-at-home mom. And so we only had my income, and I quit a well-paying job to start this business. And that occurred to me about a week after I quit that, wow, we are in a position here where there's no turning back. And so we really had to start from there. And I just think that's a great experience. I think when you're in a position where you recognize that you can't do it on your own and that you have to rely on God's leading, that you're in a position where you can't turn back. I think too often we hold on to things, a safety net.
Yes.
And we don't take that leap that God may be calling us to do something, but we're unwilling to take that leap because we're not willing to let go of the safety blanket. And until you do that and be put in that position, then and only then are you committed to making it happen and going forward. And I think that's the important thing.
Now we have, you know, right now in the United States is a very suppressed economic environment. And so we have people who have no jobs. Do you think God can help them use this very seemingly bad circumstance to turn it into a good circumstance?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I think sometimes when we're in those positions, that's exactly where we needed to be, even though that's not easy to hear.
Yes.
And if you look at a lot of the successful businesses today were started during the Great Depression. Businesses like McDonald's, Dairy Queen, all came out of the Great Depression. A lot of great businesses have been founded in the middle of recessions or Great Depressions. And so I think those are opportunities. You're in a position where you need to do something and make a change. And sometimes that's the very situation God places you in to do that.
Now, another one of your chapters focuses on discovering your true voice. And I think all of us we all like to think we're authentic, but really, how do we become truly authentic?
Yeah, I think what happens is that we want to fit in. We don't want to stand out. And God has created us in an incredibly unique way. And so it's our uniqueness, the way that God has designed us, becomes our greatest asset. Helio Gracie and the Gracie family is well known for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Helio Gracie had several brothers who were martial arts experts. And in the 1920s, he was a very frail, weak man. Family doctor recommended that he not participate. And his brothers were all instructors. And so he started to adapt and modify these martial arts moves to accommodate his small, frail frame. And so with timing and leverage, he created this entirely different approach to martial arts. And so in 1929, one day his brother Carlos shows up late for a training, and he gets pulled in to teach. And the students are amazed at his abilities. And that was really the birth of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And so you have to ask yourself the question, if he had not been born the way he was, would Brazilian jiu-jitsu exist today? And I think the answer is no. It was that very thing that made him unique that became his greatest asset. And so I think we need to look at our children and identify those things that make them unique and celebrate those things. God always looks to those who are weak, who are ordinary, and then he's able to do amazing things in spite of those truths.
You have a great story about one of your grandfather's tools. Could you share that with us?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was my wife's grandfather.
Okay.
He passed away when we were first married, and I inherited several of his tools. And one of the tools that I inherited was a small saw. I had no idea what it was for or what it was used for. It was kind of a useless little saw. And I'm a pack rat, and my wife throws everything away. And so because it was her grandfather's tools, these didn't get thrown in the trash. But this one particular saw, I kept it around, and I used it from time to time to saw something. You know, in an urgent case, I would use it. And so one day, several years later, we were in a home where we were finishing our floors, and I was doing trim. And one of my friends, who's a great carpenter, came over, and I was asking him how to make joints with this floor trim, and he said, you need a cope saw. And I said, okay, I don't know what a cope saw is. And so we ventured out to the garage, and sure enough, that little useless saw that I almost threw away multiple times was the cope saw that he was speaking about. And within minutes, he taught me how to use it, and we were making flawless joints and laying out this floor trim. And I realized that, you know, I didn't know what the purpose was for that saw. But once I understood the purpose, it became indispensable to me. And I think in many ways that's how we are in our walk. And when we recognize God's created us in a very unique way and we're living out our purpose, amazing things can happen.
I love that illustration. Do great things. So the purpose of your book, is it to make us something we aren't? We'll conclude with this, the overall purpose of this book.
Yeah, the real purpose of the book is to inspire and motivate people to live exactly as God created them. So I'm teaching what great entrepreneurs use to be successful and applying that in your personal life, but based on a biblical platform. And when people start to recognize that these principles can have an incredible impact in their lives. Like, for example, the ability to see opportunity that others don't see. Great entrepreneurs do this on a consistent basis, but imagine if you could start to see incredible opportunities in your children that even their teachers don't see or even their family members don't see or recognize and inspire those gifts and abilities and fan that into a flame.
I love that. I mean, that's so applicable to me as a teacher, to see in every child. They might have come to me with, you know, the label of ADHD or autism, but God will use them as a tool to forward His wonderful message.
Yes.
And this has to be my last question. What happens when you combine these principles with the principles of God? And you have a list here. And if you don't mind, you can say the list, or
sure.
I can say the list.
No, I'd be happy to. I already shared the one, the ability to see opportunity others don't see. That's my favorite of all.
Yes, that's a great.
And the ability to focus on the most important. The great entrepreneurs do this incredibly well. But how often do, especially in today's culture?
we're going every which direction.
Yes.
Oh, focus, yes.
We are. So the ability to focus on the most important things and place those first, that's incredibly key. Leadership. The entrepreneurs have what I call unique leadership style. And so learning your unique leadership style, regardless of whether you have people reporting to you, leadership isn't a position. An area of authority. It's really influence on others. And so thinking about leadership from that perspective is really important. And then essentially learning what your true voice is, how God's designed you, and living that out in a unique way.
Amen. Well, we have come to the conclusion of this wonderful show, and we so appreciate talking with Aaron Broyles. Make sure you go to his website, www.aaronbroyles.com, I believe it was.
That's correct, yes.
And also, they can tweet you at, and it's the symbol at Aaron Broyles, or they can go onto Facebook, aaron.broyles.author.
That's correct, yes.
And that will just give you a lot of information that we couldn't cover here, but we do want every person to feel inspired and empowered to be what God would have them to be.
That's awesome.
And with that, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.